out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy hell, out of my want, and into thy wealth, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm, out of life's storms, and into thy calm, out of distress, to jubilant psalms, Jesus, I come to thee.
Good job, amen. Appreciate that song more than anything. And men who sung all weekend, it's kind of men's weekend, seemed like, singing-wise. That's okay. Appreciate our men so much. And I tell you, we have a tremendous, tremendous group of ladies in our church and just do an unbelievable job in all that they do. And appreciate our men, though, too. I like the fact when I look at our choir, we got as many men singing up there as we do women. I think that's a great testimony. People need to see our men singing. You know, we get way too much of this attitude, you know, church is for women. Fellas, let me tell you something. If there's anybody that needs church, it's men. Because it's our job to lead. It's not our ladies' job to lead. It's our job to lead, especially in areas of spiritual things. And if there's anybody who needs to know this book, it's us. Amen. As men, we need to take leadership of our home. We need to lead in spiritual things, and we sure need it. So it's good to see men leading. You need women in the church, but a church, we can't survive without good men. That's all there is to it. And so we're so thankful for all those. But never, never want to take for granted all that our ladies do. Do so much around here work. It takes a lot to keep things going. Appreciate all those who are involved in all that they do this morning. Well, it's good to have Brother Ivy and his wife. Excuse me, Brother Ivy and his wife with us this morning, pastoring Bible Baptist Church of Ash Grove, Missouri. That is, he does that, not her. Amen. And I don't think it's pastors. It's pastor, plural, singular, I think. Pastoring Bible Baptist Church there in Ash Grove. Been there many years. I should know, but I've forgotten how many years. He might tell us when he comes up. But appreciate Brother Ivy up again coming up to help us with our 40th anniversary. And Brother Ivy is part of that. I count him a good friend. He's a good friend to our church as well, he and his wife both. And so we appreciate all their work there. So let's give him our attention this morning. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, boy, really tune in this morning and listen. Whether the message is about salvation or not, it doesn't matter. God can speak to your heart through any message. God has the ability to take a message and apply it to somebody's heart. And so as you listen this morning, and if God speaks to your heart, let's act upon that. That's the whole point of coming to church, is to hear the preaching of the Word of God and then respond to it. And so let's tune in and listen to the Word of God this morning. So Brother Ivy, why don't you come ahead, sir, and go ahead and preach.
Give me the message, didn't he? No dry preaching. All right. We'll do our best, brother. I count it a great honor and privilege to be invited to preach for this special Sunday, 40th anniversary of Calvary Baptist Church. I don't take that lightly. I know Brother Merritt could have got a lot of preachers come, could preach a lot better than I can, but I appreciate him inviting me and the church letting me come today. We had our 40th anniversary back 5 years ago. Very thankful for that. Bible Baptist Church is 45 years old this year, and the Lord's allowed me to be the pastor of 23 years of that 45 years. And I'm very thankful for the years God's given me there. I'm very thankful for my salvation this morning. Amen. I was saved as a 26-year-old man. Just been out of the military not long and pretty bitter about some things. And God got a hold of my heart. I never take for granted, and I hope I never do, the great salvation that God has provided and that He saved me by His marvelous grace. And I appreciate that good Sunday school lesson this morning. Listen, you can't add anything to the cross, my friend. Christ paid the price. There's nothing else we have to do except repent and turn to Him. And if you're not saved this morning, I want you to know that I've been saved about 35 years now. I've been trying to serve God those years. I've not always done everything right, and I've had a lot of failures. But I wouldn't trade the years that God's given me to serve Him for 500 years before I was saved. And it's a great life. I appreciate this church. I appreciate the enthusiasm of Calvary Baptist Church. And don't lose that. Amen. I appreciate the enthusiasm here. I appreciate your music. And, you know, we can be enthusiastic with our music and still be God-honoring. And we don't have to go down the progressive route to be enthusiastic. And I appreciate God-honoring, enthusiastic singing. I appreciate it very much. But again, I count it a great privilege to be here this morning. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Someone asked me back there where I was going to preach. I said, well, 2 Chronicles, Exodus, 1 Timothy. And they looked at me like, man, we're going to be here all day. But I promise you, I won't keep you from lunch. But if you'd find 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you'd find your place there, and if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read one verse there, and we're going back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, a verse probably everyone here knows, probably many of you could quote here. Simply says this. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 3. I told you 2 Timothy, and that's my mistake. Now you know I'm not infallible. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, you think about that. I got to think about that this morning reading over this. It says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know, the church, you might say, is the pillar that God has left here. It's His institution that He left here to get His work done. And the church is founded on the rock Christ Jesus. It's on the solid foundation. Amen. So it says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have coveted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land, unto this house? And this shall be answered, because they forsake the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath He brought all this evil upon them. Our Father, today we are truly grateful and thankful for the Word of God. And Father, without it we'd not even have a message this morning. Father, we thank You today for God's precious Word, for Your precious Word this morning. We thank You, Father, for this privilege that You've given us to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and to preach the Word today. And Father, we're keenly aware, Lord, today of how weak we are, how strong You are. Father, we're mindful today of our sinfulness and your holiness. And God, we come today, Lord, as thy servant, as humbly as we know how, before thy throne, asking, dear Heavenly Father, that thy Spirit might, Lord, empower us and give us, Lord, wisdom today and strength, Father, to preach the Word of God. I pray the Word will find lodging in honest hearts today. And Father, I pray most of all today for someone that's not saved in this building. Oh, God, that your Spirit would work in their heart. Lord, that they would come down the aisle. Lord, get on their knees and, Lord, repent and call upon you and be gloriously saved today. Father, just help this messenger, Lord. Give me strength this morning. For it is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, it refers to the church as the house of God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 16 here, we find that Solomon built a temple there under God's direction. And when the temple was finished, God said, "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house." Now that word sanctified simply means to set apart, doesn't it? And so God says here, let me say this right up front. I'm not trying to make the church an Old Testament institution, because we know the church is a New Testament institution. Amen. Started by Jesus himself. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting the church today back into the Old Testament. But I think we can see some things here as Solomon built the temple here that we can maybe apply to the church today. But we see here that it's a sanctified house. It's set apart. It's consecrated. It's dedicated to the Lord. And that's what the church is all about. Amen? It's about the Lord. It's not about us. But it's about the Lord. It's about His work. It's about preaching the gospel, seeing people saved. That's what the church is all about. It's sanctified, and the church should be set apart for the work of God. Now, our prayer should be, my prayer for Bible Baptist Church, and I'm sure your prayer for Calvary Baptist Church this morning, is that this church would always be a sanctified house for God. Now we see churches that are going another direction today, don't we? And even some good churches that are going another direction. That's a sad thing, but our prayer should be that this church, as well as my prayer for Bible Baptist in Asheville, Missouri, is that it will always be a house sanctified and set apart for the work of God. Now, let me say this. The church should not be a social club. It should not be a place of fun and frolic. But I want to say this. There's nothing I enjoy more than being with God's people. I appreciate the services yesterday. I appreciate the fellowship. And it was good, and I enjoy being here today, and I enjoy being at Bible Baptist, but I love being with God's people. But the church is not a place of fun and frolic. I was at a hospital with an individual here some months back, and got to talking to a lady, and she was a member of one of the big churches there in the area, and her comment was that our church is so much fun. And she began to tell about all the things they had going on to have fun. Well, listen, let me tell you, the Bible says that I believe that the church is sanctified or set apart for the Lord. Now, we look here in the Scriptures this morning. What I want to look at four houses of God that we find in the Bible. Four houses of God we find in the Bible. Now, I want to start back in Exodus chapter 25. So if you would go back to the second book, the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 25. And of course, this is where God instructs Moses to build the tabernacle. I think we can see some things here maybe that we could apply to the church today. Exodus chapter 25, let's read verses 1 through 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it." Now God told Moses here instructed Moses to make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And you notice says, God says there, make me a sanctuary. I think that's good. Amen. The Lord said there in verse 8, He said, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Listen, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how much hoopla a church has, if the Lord's not in it, my friend, you don't have anything. Amen. And so He instructs Moses here. He says, make me a sanctuary. Listen, Calvary Baptist Church is not Brother Merrick's church. It's not your church. We refer to it as that sometimes. But I want you to know it's the Lord's church. Amen. And this church is here for Him, not for us. I mean, it's here for us, so to speak. But it's His church, and we need to remember that. So He said, make me a sanctuary. I'm afraid many quote-unquote churches today are built as a monument to man. So we can say, look what I've done. And so God says, the Lord told Moses, make me a sanctuary. Now, it took sacrifice on the part of the people here. There in verse 2, He says, speaking of the children of Israel, if they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And it goes along, it goes down through there, talks about the gold and the different offerings that they were bringing. Listen, any church, such as Calvary Baptist Church, this church didn't just start automatically. Now, it's the Lord's church, amen? And if He's not in it, we don't have anything. But still, it takes people, doesn't it? It takes willing people to build the church, to do the work that God has. And I appreciate your building here. I had a little bit of part in it and hooking up the air conditioners. And then I appreciate your building over here that you're working on. And I tell you, that praise God, that you're going to have a nice building over there. And you're not going to have a lot of money in it, are you? Because men and women willingly work, didn't they? You know, I put a lot of heat and air in churches through the years to help people out. And you know, these preachers always tell me, oh, if you'll come and put heat and air in this building, man, I'll have you some help. I never had any help. But when I came to Calvary, praise God, I got help. Amen. I got help putting that in. I appreciate that. And I even had one of these, who was this young man right here? I had the wires run out for the thermostat. He says, I believe I can hook that up. And I thought, yeah, right. I said, go ahead. Guess what? He hooked it up right. Praise God. Pretty sharp fella here. Amen. But it takes some help, doesn't it? It takes people willing to work. Listen, it takes some sacrifice. It takes some sacrifice to go out and visit, to reach people, to get them to come into the house of God. Listen, it takes work. I've learned around the church, and I've pastored about 30 years now. I've learned pastoring the church and the work of God. If you do anything, it's just work. Amen. And I appreciate everyone that sacrificed through the years. Clear back from the first pastor, from the man that Brother Merrick shared that wasn't even a preacher that started this, got this church started. And there's been a lot of sacrifices made through the years. Amen. I know you paid your building off early. We did that back several years ago. I think we paid ours off 5 years early. But that's only because of people sacrificially gave. And it takes sacrifice. Our church, Bible Baptist, see, I'm calling it my church already, huh? But Bible Baptist Church, over the last about 4 or 5 years, we've completely remodeled inside and out. Matter of fact, last year the trusses failed and the roof started falling in, and we had to take our auditorium clear down to the walls and the concrete floor. And now when I go out on visitation and somebody say, oh, preacher, I couldn't come to your church, the ceiling would fall, roof would fall in, I tell them, no, it's already done that. And we fixed it, amen? So you can come, amen. But it took us a year but I had men the same way, man. We did a big part of that work ourselves. But I'm just saying it takes, listen, ladies, that lunch yesterday, that was delicious, amen. And I want to say I appreciate that lunch. And I want to say I appreciate lunch today, and I haven't even had it yet. But I know it'll be good, amen. But it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? And you know, it says, notice this right here, and I'm going to have to hurry on. Brother Barrett told me to be done by noon. I got 10 minutes. He didn't tell me that. But notice what it says there in verse 2. That giveth it willingly with his heart. This church is here because some people from their heart have been willing to sacrifice to get the job done for the Lord. And I tell you, whatever you do for the Lord here, as our brother taught in Sunday school, my friend, you're going to get eternal rewards for it. Amen. So people had given sacrificially here. Here in verses 1 through verse number 7 there. Now notice something else here real quick, and I'm going to have to continue on here if I'm going to preach through all these 6 or 8 books I'm going to preach through this morning. Verse 9 says, God instructed Moses to build. He says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. After the pattern. Now, when you went to build this building, you had a set of plans. We've built, I don't know, about 10 or 12 houses through the years. And to build a house, particularly if you're building it where they have building codes, you've got to have a set of blueprints. You've got to have, somebody qualified to draw up those blueprints. And you've got to go by the blueprints, because if you don't, when the inspector comes and things aren't right, he won't pass it. Well, now, it says here that as God instructed Moses here to build a tabernacle, he said, make it after the pattern. You know, I believe God has a pattern for his church today. And I don't believe that pattern ever changes. Amen. Its pattern is the same. Praise God. The pattern never changes. God has a pattern here. There was a pattern of set plans for the building. And you notice he says, even so shall you make it. That hasn't changed. Right. You know, people ask me sometimes, from time to time, says, what kind of a church is your church? And I just tell them, it's an old-fashioned conservative Baptist church. I mean, there's no need to say anything else. Amen. I went to visit a friend that I grew up with. Matter of fact, my best friend. He was the best man at my wedding. He lives down in Texas. He's a millionaire now. And I was visiting with him there a couple weeks ago. He's down there. I just called him, and he invited me over. But anyway, he said he was a member of a church that had 6,000 people. And he said, but you know, he said, the thing that bothers me, he said, they put forth all their effort and do all kinds of things just to get people in. And he said, they don't ever teach anybody anything from the Bible. I mean, he could even see that himself, you know, in a big liberal church like. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm not as interested. I want Bible Baptist Church to grow just like you want Calvary Baptist. And I hope maybe, way it looks someday, I might be hooking up some more air conditioning. Might build a bigger building, amen? But yeah, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I want to see Bible Baptist Church grow. But I said, you know, I'm more interested in growing people than I am growing a church. Amen. And he looked at me and said, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But you know, God has a plan. And we need to follow those plans. God has a plan for the church, the house of God. We must follow that plan. And you know, God's plan for the church is old-fashioned. It has not changed. Oh, and you know, we could go into that and preach 2 hours this morning. Brother Ray preached on don't remove the old landmarks. And listen, I still believe that. And I believe we ought to stick with where we're at, my friend. Listen, the Word of God does not change, amen. The Bible doesn't change. And you know, we see so many things today, the modernism that's creeping into our churches today. And we're going down that road in so many churches. We need to stay with God's pattern. And let me say, it'll still work today. And it might not, you stick with God's old pattern and God's old way, and you might not have 6,000 people. But I'll tell you, God will give you people, and those people will grow. And you'll have something solid that'll stand the test of time. I learned a long time ago, I'd rather put too many nails in something and maybe have it fall down from the weight of the nails, and not to put enough nails in it and let it fall down because you didn't nail it together good. Do it right, amen? Now let's hurry on here. Go to Exodus chapter 40. We find the tabernacle was built here. If you look down in verses 16 through verse 21 there, thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. It came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was reared up. If I still believe with all of my heart, and I believe the Bible teaches, if we'll just do it God's way, God will bless it. Amen. Now again, we might, in the eyes of the world, we may not have the huge masses, amen, of people coming in. But God will bless it. And it says, Moses did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened the sockets, set up the boards thereon, put the bars thereof, and reared up the pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above upon it, and as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil, the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded. You notice two times it says there, as the Lord commanded. There in verse 19 and verse number 21. You look back up in verse 16, it says that again. All that the Lord commanded him, so did he. So the tabernacle was finished. If you look down there in verse number 33, it says, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Now let me say, the work of the New Testament church will not be finished till Jesus comes. Amen? Now, you're getting close to finishing that building over there. And here before long, you're going to have the sheetrock taped. You're going to have it painted. And all the something on the floors or whatever you're going to do over there. And you're going to have that building done. It's going to be completed. It's going to be finished. But I want to tell you, the work of Calvary Baptist Church will not be done. Amen. It is not finished. And it doesn't matter how finished we get our buildings and everything else that we get in order. Listen, the work in the local New Testament church is never done, never finished, till Jesus comes. But here we find that Moses, he finished the work here, it says. Now, you know, we think about that in the church, just in passing by, it's to be done God's way and not our way. You know, I've learned through the years in pastoring, sometimes as far as being easy in the church, it'd be easier to do some things my way. But it needs to be done God's way. And so just kind of throw that in on the way by there. You know, there in Exodus 25 and verse 8, God said there again, he says, let me make a sanctuary. And then notice here in verse 40, notice verse 34 and 35, the tabernacle was built God's way according to God's plan, and God put his stamp of approval on it. Notice this. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Listen, that should be the desire of Calvary Baptist Church. That should be the desire of Bible Baptist Church in Ashgrove, Missouri. That should be the desire of every true New Testament Baptist church across the country and around the world, is that the glory of God might fill a temple, amen? Can you imagine driving up some Sunday morning and the glory of God be so bright in here and God being this thing so full you couldn't even get in the door? Somebody says, what would we do, preacher? I believe we'd fall on our face outside and begin to worship the true and living God. So we see God's stamp of approval. You know, if we want God's stamp of approval at Calvary Baptist Church, at Bible Baptist Church, we have to do it God's way, to get his stamp of approval. Sometimes I do things around the house. My wife, you know, when it comes to the flowers, she likes it done a certain way. She wants flowers planted in a certain place. Sometimes I plant them where I want to. Sometimes I dig them up. And I replant them, amen? It has to be done God's way. So we see the house Moses built. Let's look secondly here, the house Solomon built. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Excuse me. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. If you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, just one verse, in verse 3, then we'll go back to chapter 2. It says, now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. It gives the lengths, the cubits, and all those things. But it just remember this here, just what I want you to see here. Now, these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for building the house of God. You notice the tabernacle, the temple that Solomon built here. You notice either one of those or anywhere you build a house for God in the Bible, God always gives instructions. Amen. It's always supposed to be done God's way. Now, if you look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, we see Solomon's preparation for building the temple here. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. Listen, it takes determination to get the work done for God. Amen? And it says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. You know, it takes some determined people to be willing to trust God and to sacrifice their time and whatever it takes to get the job done for the Lord. Solomon determined. You try to build a church for God, and I'll tell you, the devil will fight it all the way, amen? Right. And you try to take a stand for God from the Bible, and I tell you, the devil will fight it, amen? There has to be some determination, you see. And it goes on, and Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountains, and 600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods." Now notice some things here. Solomon prepares to build the temple. And just, it takes preparation, doesn't it? We see here that he determined he was going to do something there. What God wanted him to do, he was going to build this house that God instructed him to build. I'm thankful. You know, you see a lot of people drop out along the way in the Lord's work. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? But I'm thankful for those people that are determined. And you know, we have a lady in our church, Miss Evelyn Harrison. She was a member of Bible Baptist Church before I ever came there. And next month, she'll be 90 years old. She still drives herself to church and back home. And she comes in with her cane. She backed over her cane and kind of bent it with her car. And she got a new cane, but she won't use it. She says, "No, preacher, this one works better. Since I backed over and bent it," she said, "it works better." I don't know. But Miss Evelyn's determined, amen? And boy, I tell you, she's been a faithful pillar in that church, a faithful member of Bible Baptist Church for many years. And I see her determination as she gets older. And I know sometimes she don't probably feel like coming, but she comes anyway. And she's determined to be faithful to God. We need a whole lot more of that today. You know, we need determination. Back, you know, when I was growing up, I remember my dad, and I grew up a lot around farming. And boy, I've seen my uncles do some things, you know, because they were just determined to get it done, you know. And we need a little more determination. Now, it's the Lord that has to do the work. Don't misunderstand me, amen. But yet we have to be determined to stay with it. The Lord's work's not always easy, folks. And we got to make up our mind. We're going to stay with it, or are we going to give up and walk away? He determined to build a house. What was he doing? For the glory of God. That's why he's building. It'd be dedicated to the Lord. Notice he says in verse 4, "Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him." I still believe that the Bible says that God gets glory through the church. And he needs to get glory through the church. Amen. We need to edify him and uplift him. We need to, you know, we got a lot of sideshows in our churches today. You know what I'm talking about. To attract people. I been around Springfield, we get a lot of stuff in the mail from different quote unquote churches, everything from car shows to rock concerts. Sideshows. Listen, we don't need a sideshow to attract people. Jesus should be the attraction of the church, amen? We should brag on him and preach on him, and he will attract people, praise God. But today we're using everything else besides the things of God to try to attract people to the church. Verse 5 says, "And the house which I build is great." Now here's why it's great. "For great is our God above all gods." I'm thankful I serve the God, the true and living God. Amen. I'm glad I don't serve some false God. And I think I mentioned the other day preaching at Bible Baptist. I remember when I was in Southeast Asia, we went to some of those Buddhist temples. And back then I wasn't a saved man. But I couldn't understand those people bowing to old Buddha. I mean, he's fat and he's ugly. And he just sits there. And we'd go in them Buddhist temples, and all those Buddhist monks would be bowing and all those things. And in the villages and different places, they'd have a statue of Buddha, and they'd all be worshiping Buddha. And I just never could figure that out. Because Buddha wasn't nothing but a hunk of clay, amen? But you know, except by the grace of God, I could be a Buddhist today. But we find Solomon, he said, this house is going to be great, not because of Solomon, not because of his great workmanship or the great workmanship of his builders there, but he said it's going to be great, for great is our God above all gods. And I tell you, church could be meeting out here in an old ragged building somewhere, sitting on some old used church pews, but it could still be a great church. Because it's not, thank God for good buildings, don't misunderstand me. Thank God for this building, amen? But I'm just saying, it's not in the how much did the pews cost. It's not in the great edifice that man builds. The house of God's great because our God is great. Amen. He is the true and living God. He's not a God, He's the God. Amen. Amen. Notice one more thing, verse 6. But who is able to build Him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him? Who am I then that I should build Him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before Him? We see that. I believe we see in this place, we see Solomon's humility here. He says, who am I? We need to be careful we don't get proud in the work of God. You know, I have not accomplished anything, or you have not accomplished anything in the Lord's work, except that God has just done it through you. And I think as preachers, we have to be careful that we not get proud. We begin to think, look what I've done. Listen, I haven't done anything. God's done it. Amen. And He says, who am I? And you know, I think about that. Who am I? I would have, if somebody would have told me I would be a Baptist preacher back when I was 20 years old, I told them I didn't know what they were talking about. Now I think about that. God would call me. And you know, that even God would give me the opportunity and privilege to be able to preach here at the 40th anniversary of this church. And I'm not just trying to be humble up here this morning, but I'm just saying, listen, folks, we need to be careful we don't get proud. Who am I? Amen. Who am I? We see the temple was finished. I've got to continue on here. I got 6 more points, 6 minutes to get them in. Notice here in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. He finished the work here. And then we go over to chapter 7. We see God's divine acceptance here. Just as God accepted the tabernacle there that Moses constructed. We see here in verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. There it is again. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, people, you hear these songs they sing, when they get to heaven, I'm going to walk up and shake hands with Jesus. It's not going to be that way. We're going to fall on our face before Him. Amen. Just like they did here when the glory of God filled the temple here. So then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because His mercy endured for. See that right there? There goes back to music. Their music was made to praise the Lord. Amen. It wasn't to bring attention to man or show what great performers they are. It was to bring glory to God. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. And it goes on and talks about how God accepted the tabernacle. God appeared to Solomon down here in verse 12 we see. It says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice there. So God appeared to Solomon. He chose a temple for a house there of sacrifice. And then if you look down in verse 19 there, we already read this, but notice this. God said, if you turn away from my statutes, I will cast this temple out of my sight. And you know, folks, I think there's one of the big problems with America today. You can see the direction our churches are going, and you can see the direction our nation's going. Listen, back when America had a lot of strong Bible-preaching churches, she was a strong nation. But now we're seeing churches go to entertainment, fun and frolic, and all the other things, and we can see what's happening to America today. And I think the answer to America is to get back to some strong churches, some men that will get behind the pulpit and just preach the Word of God gun barrel straight. Notice in verse 19, let's just go back here real quick. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes, here God had approved the temple here. God had put his stamp of approval. The kind of glory of God had moved in. And God said there in verse 12, he had chosen this place there as a house of sacrifice. But if you look in verse 19, he gives a warning. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is a high, let me say, the church is the highest institution on the top side of the earth, amen? And shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, now notice this, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And I said, so goes the church, so goes the nation, amen? Because when the church is not right, the family's not going to be right, the home's not going to be right, and the nation's going to, it's not going to be right. And I think that's where we're at today. And I know we're known as old-fashioned. You know, they say we hold the traditional values. That don't bother me a bit. Amen. Traditional values. You know why? Because traditional values are right. Amen. They're right. Amen. We must be careful not to turn from God's statutes and his commandments. Verse 22, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Listen, you can't move away from the truths of God's Word and the things of God and be blessed. We see that in America today. If people can't see that, then they're blind. Amen. So we see the house Solomon built. I've got two more real quick and we'll cover them quick. Go to Matthew 16, the house Jesus built. And again, the church is a New Testament institution. Jesus established his church during his personal ministry upon earth. It didn't have its beginning on the day of Pentecost. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The church was already in existence before that time. And praise God, it's still in existence today. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the New Testament church. Yes. And I'm thankful it's an ecclesia, aren't you? Amen. It's local and it's visible. Right. I would hate to preach to an invisible church every Sunday. Amen. That would get discouraging, amen? How would you like to take your offering up from an invisible church, Brother Mary? That'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? We know this scripture right here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, Petros, the little rock. And he says, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, Jesus didn't found the church on Peter, and Peter wasn't the first pope. He says, Jesus, you're Peter, you're the little rock, the Petros. And he says, upon this rock, speaking of himself, Petra, the big rock here, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As I already mentioned, the church is local and visible. You know the body is the church. There's a lot of confusion on that today. Some have two bodies, amen. You know, Galatians chapter 4 says there's just one, or Ephesians chapter 4, I'm sorry, says there's just one body. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Corinth, he said, ye are the body of Christ, that church, the church at Corinth. You know about the church, your pastor preaches what I preach on the church and what the Bible says. But let me say, the church that Jesus established is local and visible. It's indigenous. It's doing something, amen? You know, y'all thank God for this church, folks. Listen, there's independent Baptist churches closing up all over the country every day. Amen? Indigenous, existing, growing, winning souls. Listen, when a church gets to the point where they don't want to win souls anymore, they don't want to do anything for missions, I believe God's going to write Ichabod over the door. Autonomous, that big word just means functioning independently. Somebody says, how independent are you? I'm as independent as a dead hog on ice. And that's pretty independent. I'm independent of everything but the Lord. Amen. Premillennial. I believe in the premillennial tribulation rapture. Fundamental in practice and belief. Let me say I'm still Baptist. Baptist is still on the sign in front of our church. Amen. And it's going to remain there. Amen. It's not going to be changed to Bible church, Bible community church, right, or Bible whatever church. It's Bible Baptist church. Right. It's going to remain that. The local church is missionary. We know that. Bible believing, Bible preaching, Baptist church. Jesus established the church during his personal ministry. He did not establish a TV or a radio church. Amen. And I could get off on that for a while, but I won't. You know, Jesus promised right here that his divine presence, and also in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus promised that his divine presence would always be with the church. And I believe in the perpetuity of the church. I believe John the Baptist was the first Baptist. I didn't go back that far, amen. But I believe that we can trace the Baptist church all the way back to the first church. Somebody said, oh, you Baptists, you think you're right. Well, the Bible's right, amen. Jesus is right. The church is the institution God has left here to get his work done. And then one last house, and I'll close here. That's found in John chapter 14. That's the house Jesus is preparing right now. And let me say, if you're not saved, he's not preparing a house for you. Only for the saved, amen? But let me say this, if you're not saved, you can be saved today. You know, I remember when I got saved, I was raised in religion. I was taught works for salvation my whole life. That's all I ever knew. Then my wife got married. She was a Baptist, and she kept trying to get me to go to a Baptist church. And two or three Sundays, we went out to Wilson Creek Baptist Church out of Springfield there, and I drove right by and went right back home. Wouldn't stop. One day, the Lord put the brakes on. I don't think I even touched the brake pedal that morning. I don't know. But I slid into the parking lot of Wilson Creek Baptist Church. Make a long story short, I got saved that next week. I was baptized there, and God called me to preach in that church. I'm thankful for the local church, amen. But here in John chapter 14, it says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, Jesus is preparing a mansion for his people today. I mentioned being down in Texas when my friend, he invited me to his house. I went over there, and his house was 8,000 square foot. It had all these marble floors, and I mean, hillbilly like me don't get in places like that very often. And I guess that was his mansion. Me and my wife, we're living in our mansion. We got a 1,500 square foot log house in the middle of the woods. Woo, my dream home, amen. I mean it. I wouldn't trade it for that great big house in Dallas and everything that goes with it. But listen, one day we're going to have a mansion in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. Praise God, there won't be any pain in heaven. These old bodies will be perfect, amen? Right. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe yours is perfect, but just wait till you get a little older. And it won't be, amen? I told Brother Sam, by the way, where's Brother Sam? Back here. I've known Brother Sam for 12 or 15 years, and all these guys saying they can't understand him. I said, Brother Sam, I never had any problem understanding you. So I just want to take up for Brother Sam back there. But I told him this morning, I said, you know, after you have back surgery, it seems like you have good days and you have bad days. And I said, this is not one of my good ones. Your old body just kind of wears out, doesn't it? But praise God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a brand new body. Amen. Somebody said, you really believe in heaven? Hallelujah. Praise God, I believe in it. If I didn't believe in it, I'd quit preaching right now. I'd throw this Bible in the trash can and I'd go fishing this afternoon. Yes, heaven is a real place. But I want to tell you there's another place called hell. And Jesus preached on that morning. He preached on heaven. Why did he preach on that morning? He preached on heaven because he wanted to warn people that they don't want to end up in that terrible place called hell. Somebody says, preacher, that's old fashioned. They don't preach on hell in churches today. I still preach on hell because it's in the Word of God. And the Bible says it's a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, my friend. It's a terrible place. The demons of hell run back and crawl, forced to cross hell forever, forever, forever. Listen, you don't think hell's a real place? I got news for you. It's as real as this building we're sitting in today. Somebody says, preacher, you trying to scare me? No, but I'm just trying to warn you. Praise God, there's a place called heaven. Hallelujah, I'm headed there by the grace of God. But I want to warn you, if you're not saved, there's a place called hell. It's a terrible place. I believe it's a place, if we go to Luke 16, it's a place where people want to die, but they can't. It's a place of constant pain. And I say this to our Baptist churches today, if we quit preaching on hell, my friend, we have failed God. And that's not something I preach on every Sunday necessarily. It's not a hobby horse with me. But we've come to this modernistic time in our churches today. Well, you can't mention hell. It's just not relevant to our time. Yes, it is relevant. Because if you leave out of here lost from this life, you're going to end up in hell forever. Somebody says, preacher, hang up, because this book says it. If you're not here today, think about that. But you know, no one in this room today has to go to hell. No one. You know, there's a little talk yesterday about back years ago, one of the pastors being Calvinistic, and I knew him and all that. But you know, all I can tell you this morning, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you today. If you're here and you're not saved, let's pray.